You are listening to AWOL Radio here on 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, radiowaterloo.ca, broadcasting to all of Waterloo Region.
Guy overdosed.
Careful, careful. Watch his head.
Yeah.
This. Doyle. Hey, buddy. Hey. Come on, you gotta stay with us, bro.
You think the overdose crisis and the homeless crisis are sort of wrapped around each other?
I think so, yeah. Seems like it, doesn't it?
Definitely.
You know, like, who's dying the most?
We used to put pictures on the wall at Van Du of the people that weren't, you know, we lost. And it's hard to keep up with it nowadays.
I have seen this all before. This is my second overdose crisis. I was an injection heroin user all the way through the first one, here in Vancouver. In that last crisis, Vancouver saw the highest rates of HIV/AIDS transmission in the industrial world because nobody could get clean needles. But we saw something else too. We saw drug user activism catch fire. We realized no one was coming to save us, so we'd better save ourselves. And we organized, and we're still doing it.
Can you, like, go down the list and, like, tell me, like, the time and then the substance?
Yes. Powder, 442. Powder, 442. Crack, 446. Crack, 455. Crack, 502.
This is the main needle depot in all of North America. They had more syringes out here than all of North America.
Well, 1cc syringes, half cc syringes. We have 5cc barrels, 3cc barrels. We have water, ties, cookers, pretty well everything you need except for the dope.
This podcast is going to be stories from us about that activism. It's going to be the drug war covered by drug users as war correspondents.
You know, we're not going to quit doing the drugs. Like, that's not even an option. And for all these straight people that think that's an option, well, go read your book again, because in my book it doesn't say anywhere where I'm quitting doing drugs. It's like, you can read all the books. Until you lived it, you don't know it.
So what would you tell the people in charge if you could?
Well, so many things I could think of saying to them. Like, they got to listen to the people. You know, they got to listen to what we say and what we're going through, because we're not making it up. It's not bullshit. It's not some fantasy. You know, this is our lives.
My name's Garth Mullins. I'm the host of Crackdown, a new podcast about drugs, drug policy, and the drug war, covered by drug users. Coming soon.
100 block rock, shoot up shot, police chief, cold grief, war on drugs, pull the plug, clean it up, nowhere to go, ground zero, overload jail.
Yeah, check out that new podcast coming out of Vancouver with Garth Mullins and a whole bunch of people, editorial board full of knowledgeable crisis epidemic. It is an unprecedented public health emergency, and we're going to talk about it here, what's going on locally in Waterloo Region. Today we are going to be speaking about a new campaign involving the safe consumption sites, overdose prevention sites, some ultimate goals of saving lives and putting some pressure on the region here. So on February 28th at 5 p.m., members of the Allen Ryan's People's Community Defense Brigade organized a gathering in downtown Kitchener and marched to the Region of Waterloo headquarters to set up the first pop-up overdose prevention site in a new campaign to prevent deaths of people who use drugs. And to put pressure been dragging their feet on establishing much-needed supervised consumption and injection sites. At least 10 people died in the region in January alone from opioid overdoses, with February death toll similarly high, with at least 2 additional deaths in the final days of the month. The group set up a tent and stocked it with necessary supplies like clean needles, water, blankets, disposal bins, and most importantly, naloxone kits, which, when administered to someone experiencing opioid-induced respiratory depression, can help stabilize their breathing and ultimately saving their life. After several hours, the group packed up for the eve, announcing that they will be setting up this operation daily in different spots around the downtown until official supervised sites are established. Today, we are joined by organizers Julian Ickham and Kyle Wall to talk about the grassroots overdose prevention site campaign and the larger public health emergency brought forward by the ongoing opioid crisis. Thanks for joining us today.
We'll jump right into it, if that's okay. Julian, we'll start with you.
First off, I'd like to say this isn't the first safe injection site in the area. I would like to mention that AWOL and the Youth Collective had a safe injection site in the drop-in center that they ran in 2010, and there were some problems that came up with it. One of it was the issue of it being 24 hours, causing an issue of staffing.
This is an ongoing issue. This is something that has been going on. And right now we're entering this, over the last few years, we're really focusing on this as a public health emergency. focus is around public health and as a social issue, as Julian just mentioned. Now, could you tell me a little about your groups that you're working with and about this campaign that was just launched yesterday with the overdose prevention site, the pop-up overdose prevention site in front of the regional building?
So the Alderman People's Community Defense Brigade was started maybe 2 years ago. 2 years ago was named after Alan Ryan, who was the head of the Dublin Brigade of the Real IRA and a member of a community that was plagued by drugs. Alan Ryan went after the drug gangs that were controlling the drugs, particularly those that were targeting at-risk and marginalized people. But he never used the word junkie, and talking to his family members and his friends and stuff, he was very sympathetic to the plight of drug users. The political group that he was a part of before he died, the 32 County Sovereignty Movement, their policy on drugs is quite clear that drugs is a social issue and that the Portuguese model should be followed. So Alan Ryan is a working class hero, and we named ourselves after him. Some of the programs that we do include free food programs, community patrols, and now basically overdose prevention site. In the past, several of us have been involved in the tent cities, and last year's tent city as well as this tent city was an overdose prevention site. We've had community forums and focus groups with the region around the issue of setting up safe injection sites. And with the election of drug for him, because he is a drug dealer, but of course, you know, people like him don't go to jail. So when Doug Ford came into power, basically what happened was those elements in the region that have been reactionary have used this as an excuse to put the brakes on what's been happening, and the region has been dragging their feet. My understanding was in 2018 we were supposed to have the opening and the moving forward of spaces for people to safely use drugs, be open about it, and get the help they need, because that's the only way people are going to come forward and get help. You know, not if they're told you are bad, you are wrong, this and this and this. And seeing that nothing was happening, we are doing it ourselves, as well as putting pressure on the region to do something. If they're not going to do something, we are.
And Kyle, go ahead.
Yesterday's launch of the campaign and the overdose prevention site that was put up.
Basically what happened was we wanted to be visible to the region and the people who are making the decisions. So we set up our tent and our safe injection site outside of the regional meeting. People who came by were pretty supportive. People from inside the regional building also very supportive. We did have a group of
council meeting. Now, there wasn't any discussion planned. Like, this wasn't a meeting for discussion about safe injection sites or supervised injection sites. This was a meeting. You know, they were having a meeting about the LRT. You all set up this overdose prevention site for the visibility at the regional building, but you weren't taking part in any meetings or anything. So yeah, it did seem very interesting that these people were able to show up within, you know, an hour of your group being on the news, and actually afterwards they were lobbying, if you will, various members of council who did shut them down pretty well, explaining to these people that these sites are to save lives. These sites are to take this on as a social issue and to tackle this public health emergency.
That's surprisingly encouraging.
It was encouraging. When I overheard the conversation and spoke to some of the council members as well yesterday, and to see this pushback from a small group of, well, these were, you know, 60-year-olds or older. They made their way up from Cambridge, where there's been a lot of pushback about establishing supervised consumption sites. So, yeah, that they can organize so quickly, get to the regional meeting where the discussions aren't even happening, and trying to pressure the government to further drag their feet.
I actually joked at the time that I was kind of jealous in a way of how quickly they were able to organize and how effectively.
Well, hopefully it wasn't too effective, of course. But that wasn't interesting. But other than this group showing up, you did mention there was good support from inside the building, inside the region. What kind of support do you have in government? Because I know it was working towards setting up these sites. Doug Ford got into power, said we're not going to fund any more of these sites, and now basically there needs to be funding for these sites to be set up.
We collaborated with the health department on various focus groups that they were using, and we had meetings with different levels of government pushing forward this issue, and like, there is the support within, like, particularly bylaw officers that see this sort of stuff every day, and other such people. focusing on the good in some of these campaigns that you are working on. Yesterday was the launch of this overdose prevention site campaign. Now, going forward, what's it going to look like?
What they were hoping for, well, the turnout wasn't quite as large as we had hoped yesterday. We're hoping that as we continue to go on and people see that it's a safe place, that they'll become more comfortable with coming to us. Because at first, it's obvious that some of them might have fears of arrest or ostracization and things like that. So we hope as we establish ourselves in the community that they'll be far more comfortable with coming to us, and hopefully we'll grow, and hopefully that will show the need for such a program in our community and show it in such a way that it's impossible for the region to ignore us.
We got to get going to set up. I was just going to bring that up now. Yesterday you were set up at the regional building. The goal or the idea isn't to be there every day. For instance, today, where will you be set up, and what kind of timeline are you looking at for a daily?
We're going to be set up right at Dugan's Park.
Yeah, there's a little parkette there. Is that the idea?
And it's a place where people use drugs already. It's also a place where people have died. And we're taking that space and using it as a space.
So is the idea then to run this daily,
yes,
5 to 8 daily, and until when? Is this going to be like for a month?
Basically until we get the attention that we need for this issue.
In speaking with some of the counselors yesterday, just to try to see where they're at, it seemed to be funding is the last step here. And I know there's some NIMBYism from people, we don't want this near us, we don't want this near that. However, a federal court just yesterday ruled that it doesn't matter. NIMBYs don't get a say in the placement of safe injection sites. This is coming out of Edmonton because a business group was trying to block the implementation of 3 safe consumption sites.
Discussing what motivation they have for that.
I think that's the same motivation bringing so-called undesirables to town. Now, the fact that this federal court has said no, you know, NIMBY concerns are second, third, fourth rate concerns when it comes to this public health emergency. So what are the steps to get the funding? Like, is there steps? Is it just going to be the region, or is there going to be, like, outside funders or
community? Like, the reality is all these steps they're talking about in many ways is dragging the feet. There have been focus groups. There's been discussion. There's been outreach. The vast majority of the community supports this. There are locations that have been identified, and just need to move forward on this.
Where can people get more information to find out where it's going to be set up daily?
People should come out. It'll be announced at the end of each day where it is, and eventually we want to have a website or a blog or something to let people know. Facebook as well. There's a Island Ride People's Community Defense Brigade Facebook page, and we'll start putting that up there. We have not yet.
Okay, and I know you got to get going, so we will we'll cut this now. We're going to go with the tune. This is Mutiny in Heaven from the Birthday Party here on AWOL Radio.
Well, I turned and fled this f***ing heap, unducted wings, my flaming pinions, the splints and rakes and disruptions,
nearly hardly flat,
cutting upon canker, upon 1,000,000 tiny punctures, and that looked like a long thin red ribbon draped across the arms of a little model girl,
like a ground plan of power,
twice these smarting strings, these f***ing ruptures, enough,
is enough.
This is heaven, I'm bailing out. I can't tolerate this old tin tub, so full of trash and rats. Felt one crawl across my soul. For a second there, I thought I was back down in the ghetto. I'm bailing out. Hey, there's a new turn. I was a born, and Lord, shaking even then was done.
turned into an icy font, like some great stinky unclean. From slum trash to slum trash, I spill my hump to some fat behind the screen. Evil pup and I passed up to the opening. It's like shut the little perforated hatch. At night my body blushed to the whistle of the birds. With a little practice I soon learned to use it on myself. Punishment! Reward! A punishment! Well, I tied on and perched on my bed I was. I sticking a needle in my arm. I tied off. Wings burst out my back like I was cutting teeth. I took off. Oh Lord, I get down on my knees.
I get down on my knees and start to pray.
Wrapped in my mongrel wings, I nearly freeze in the howling wind and the driving rain.
I'll trance around and around and around.
From slum heaven into town, I take my tiny pain and rolling back my sleeve. Heaven, I'm bailing out, and I can't tolerate this old tincture. My threadbare soul teems with vermin and louse. Thought comes like a plague to the head in God's house.
Heaven, I'm bailing out. This is heaven, I'm bailing out.